I think the last time I had you on was when Letty played Leverkusen.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on. And one common thing, Atleti are still in the Champions League.
And Leverkusen are very much not. Yeah, what's the latest with them? How are they doing these days?
It's interesting. They finished last year very strongly, just missing out on the Champions League by goal difference, actually. Them, Hoffenheim, and Dortmund, I think, were all like third, fourth, fifth. It was very close at the end of the year, if I remember right. But yeah, like you said, they're not in the Champions League, very not in the Champions League. They've been struggling a little bit in the league. They kept most of their team together, so I guess that's a bit of a surprise.
Mm. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've heard much about them, really since the last time they played Atletico. But at least their heads are above water. I saw they got off to a kind of a difficult start, them and Schalke, which was very surprising considering how strong they
were. Yeah, just all, you never know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, that's a very unpredictable club. Well, one of Schalke's biggest rivals, if not their biggest rival, Borussia Dortmund, they paid a visit to Madrid on Tuesday night, and it did not go so well for them. Atletico won that match 2-0, got a little bit of revenge for the 4-0 pasting that Dortmund handed out a couple weeks back.
Yeah, I was just talking about how Leverkusen's form was surprising, I guess, but I think the reverse fixture of this match was one of the most surprising results of the year.
Yeah.
As you said, Dortmund 4-0 Atletico. And some revenge today. It was Dortmund's first loss of the season, the first goals they've conceded in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, if you look at it the opposite way, then it's a bit of a shock that Atleti did that to them. Although, historically, or maybe coming into the year, you would have thought, oh, Atleti beating Dortmund 2-0 at home, that's not a surprise at all.
But Dortmund have been arguably the most informed team in Europe. They've been so exciting to watch. And as you said, this is their first loss in all comps this season. It's pretty crazy now that we're into November and they hadn't lost yet.
Definitely. And they were pushed to 120 minutes just winning against Union Berlin. Marco Reus scoring the penalty last week in the 120th minute, actually. And it's been a busy stretch for them lately. And their first match, the first time they'll face Bayern, is this Saturday, Der Klassiker. So but as you said, into November, it's really been an incredible run for Dortmund under a new manager.
Yeah, that's about as tough a back-to-back as you can get, Atletico and then Bayern. Are they home for that, for Bayern?
Yeah, they are at home.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes it a little better. That's tough to go back-to-back there. Ooh. Well, they...
Totally. I guess at least they played on Tuesday.
Yeah, but they get an extra day off and Bayern play tomorrow, Wednesday. But yeah, I find it hard to believe that they won't play better than they did on Tuesday against Bayern. This was really from start to finish controlled by Atletico. Honestly, I thought this was Atletico's best performance of the season. They were really, really good. Dortmund only finished with 4 shots and none of them were on target.
Yeah, I think it was classic Atletico Madrid, and we're kind of seeing them, I think, return to form. I think a lot of the players were involved with the World Cup, so that's especially after the end of a busy club season, then a World Cup, and then coming back. It can take some time to get up and running, but yeah, Griezmann, great performance from him, and he's insane. Just go that tackle in the 88th minute. I guess we'll get to it, but insane that he's tracking back and going in like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that kind of sums up Griezmann, who donned the captain's band once again, second time in the span of just a few days, he's taken the captain's band. He scored in both games. The 80th minute goal where he kissed the badge, that was a really significant moment for him. Because Griezmann is, as pretty much everyone who follows the sport knows, he's a guy who has flirted with different clubs and different leagues the past couple of years, but that was a huge moment. And Grizzy, again, kind of set the tone. Just another very impressive performance for him. That's what I thought.
Yeah, most definitely. And like you said, he's kind of been someone who's been waffling in the transfer season, out of the transfer season, and we haven't known where his mind is at times. He has the La Decision and ends up playing Fortnite, and you know, it looks like he's finally back focused on football, which is good to see, because he's an incredible player when he's in the mood like he was today.
It was funny, the other day he gave an interview to Kicker, and he said he could see himself playing in the Bundesliga someday, but he really wants to finish his career in MLS. This is just who he is. He likes to do this, but as long as he's committed to the cause, you know, it's all good. And he definitely was on Tuesday kind of leading the charge. What did you see out of Dortmund, kind of circling back to that for just a sec? 68% possession, 68%, and just could not crack this defense.
I think that's a statistic that Simeone will be happy about. Yeah. He's probably proud to throw away the ball and say, okay, come at us all night. You end up with zero shots on target. That's a fantastic defensive effort, and I think shows for Atleti what they can do with such little possession. They really make the most of their chances. But as you asked, from Dortmund's perspective, I think it gives them an opportunity. You know, people always say you learn more from a defeat than a victory, so it kind of gives them the opportunity to look at where things have gone wrong, because they've had some maybe lucky results this year that have gone their way. Of course, this is their first loss, but if you're just getting good results, the result can cover up the imperfections of your play. So maybe they need to come up with some different ways to try to break down defenses like Atletico Madrid that they may come to face. So maybe some new ideas offensively, and, you know, like, I don't know, Christian Pulisic has not been his best this season either. Mm. He got subbed off after just about an hour.
His American hero, Christian Pulisic.
Yeah, he's got a couple other hype trains, I guess, waiting to take his place, and Sancho's one of them. I think it's kind of surprising that we saw both of them start for once, but it's time.
Yeah, just two of their just brightest young talents, and both of them came off. Pulisic lasted an hour. Sancho didn't really do a whole lot, got booked. He came off on 78 minutes. Dortmund came out in a 4-2-3-1. Paco Alcácer was at the tip rather than Marco Reus, which was the case in the return leg or the return fixture. Paco only had 14 touches in 74 minutes. Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I don't know, does Simeone know how to shut Alcácer down? Is that the case? Or is that the case of Dortmund were playing a more fluid style except for that number nine striker, and Paco wasn't able to involve himself in the game enough to be used in this type of game plan? I don't know. It's hard to say, for me at least, but it just shows, I guess, the defensive effort from those center backs, Hernandez and Jimenez, and then Rodrigo and Thomas. You know, they were impenetrable.
I think it's a little bit of both. There is a certain fluidity, but also just the concentration of touches for Dortmund. I mean, Akanji, 133 touches. Omer Toprak, 124. Hakimi, 135. And just moving up down the line, Marco Reus only had 50. Sancho had 64. And then you go all the way up to Paco, he had 14. So just kind of forcing the ball wide, forcing just lateral sideways passes. A lot of touches from defenders, and Simeone will take that every day of the week, because it shows how organized Atleti were.
Yes, I mean, especially because you're going to have moments to pressure those defenders when they take a heavy touch, maybe. And it's also interesting, I'm not sure how much we've seen Hakimi play on the left side this year. I think I've mostly, at least I can remember him playing on the right, so it's not necessarily one thing went wrong for Dortmund tonight, but just kind of a collection of a couple things. And yeah, going to Madrid is never easy.
Hakimi, a word on him, he just destroyed Atleti in the first in the first game, just absolutely left this defense in ruins. And Juan Fran stepped up on Tuesday night, kind of kept him under lock and key. All those touches, had a couple shots, but no key passes, no assists. He had 3 2 weeks ago. A much better job on him in particular. He was the danger man back in Germany.
Yeah, that does kind of make me wonder. I don't know. I guess you're playing away from home. Maybe you'll go for something a little different. But it seemed like they had the formula. At least figure that night. Maybe it's in part the crowd. That's a pretty impressive and imposing crowd that they have back home, but it just was not clicking for Dortmund tonight.
No, it was not. And you mentioned Rodri and Thomas earlier. Earlier this season, I've kind of talked about how that's not the ideal central midfield pairing, but it really worked out well on Tuesday. Rodri, 90% pass completion, as can be expected. 1-3 headers, and his presence as kind of the anchor just allows him to recover the ball, let someone like Saul play further forward. And Thomas was great as well, distributing the ball. He set up the second goal for Griezmann. Hit the woodwork, too, in the first half. It's normally just too defensive a pairing, but with Koke out, all the players who were out, by the way, we'll get to that in a second, but with Koke out, Simeone chose to go a little more defensive with Rodri and Thomas, and that opened up a lot of space for Saul and Angel Correa. I thought they were great, and they really did their jobs defensively, too. Just in all phases, they were great.
Totally, totally, and I think you're right. Maybe it's not what you would want against every opponent, especially for Atleti being one of the stronger teams in La Liga. But against Dortmund, maybe a side that they saw that they could sit deeper against and try to counter when they could, and even counter Dortmund's counters. But having those guys sitting deeper, I'm just looking at the heat map, the average position now. Saul's is kind of right in the middle of the park with that defensive midfield pairing behind him, and even Correa tucks in a lot. So it looks like they were just able to really win the ball centrally and then go forward from there, but with six players, kind of that almost a back six with just two deeper central defenders.
It was really classic counterattacking Atleti, and this is one of the few times this season, really probably the most notable occasion so far this season, where we've seen Atletico look like, well, themselves. You kind of pointed it out earlier. They really looked like themselves on Tuesday, and this is a team that has struggled with its identity the last couple seasons, honestly. There's this expectation that Atletico are going to evolve, they're going to become this kind of attacking juggernaut, and that's just not Simeone's way. He's been here 7 years, he's not gonna just all of a sudden change. He's tried it before, but he's always gone back to what he knows, and this is why he does it for nights like this. Just 32% possession at home, but he's not going to care. He's not going to care at all.
Oh,
this is what he loves.
That's just incredible. And I actually did want to ask you as well, Jeremy. Do you think that's been some of their issue? Is that they've been put under pressure to try to put the emphasis on a game and not let teams kind of play into their hands?
Oh, absolutely. I think certainly in La Liga, that's been a concern. Some of the games they play in La Liga are just dreadful to watch. Leganés at the weekend was a perfect example of this. Leganés decided to give Atleti the ball, and it took a Griezmann free kick to kind of break them down, and then Leganés went down 10 minutes later and got the equalizer. La Liga has started to kind of catch on, and sometimes that formula still works for Atleti, but sometimes it does not. There certainly has been some pressure, but it doesn't really faze Cholo. He's very confident in his way. The players believe in him. They still love him, like, to death. There's never any locker room discord. Very few reports about that during his time in charge. So it's really a united front there, and they'll play however he really wants them to play.
Yeah, it looks like they're one of the strongest teams. If they don't need to go on any of those team bonding trips that some clubs need to go on.
No, they don't. That's definitely not the case. Let's see. I mentioned Angel Correa earlier. Another really interesting case, because Correa is really a very inconsistent kind of live wire. A question from Ian Maney. I trust I'm pronouncing that right, on Twitter. How did you think Correa was? I find him incredibly inconsistent. Decent game today, but seems like he lacks that cutting edge. And yeah, I agree with that. Correa is often much better as a super sub, but in this case, I think from the opening minutes when he got booked in the sixth minute for taking down Hakimi. But after that, he was really good. Very, very aggressive going for goal, six shots in all, and just a bunch of creativity, kind of cutting in from the left, kind of a freer role for him than usual. I thought he was great, but there is always that inconsistency element to his game.
Yeah, he's just that type of player, though. You know, like, sometimes it's going to be a good game to use him, sometimes maybe not. And you mentioned that he's oftentimes better as a super sub. That's kind of like Sancho, and we're not talking about him right now, but starting the game is always going to be different. I mm-hmm. guess you just have to know what your responsibility is going to be. But yeah, the referee today was interesting, yeah. And that's a very early booking. And when you're playing for Simeone, I bet that's got to change your mentality for the rest of the match, honestly, being booked in the first 10 minutes.
That was the only yellow card Atletico got, which was kind of strange. Dortmund got three. And Dortmund did get pretty physical, pretty aggressive late, which can be expected, but only one yellow card for Atleti, which I thought they had more. It felt like they had more. There was a time around the hour mark where time really started to slow down watching this game. It got pretty nervy as Atleti kind of bunkered in. They sat back a little bit. But no, just the one yellow card.
My question for you about Correa, I guess, do you see him really as a winger or as kind of a secondary striker?
Oh, he's a second striker. He's a second striker miscast as a winger.
That's what I thought, just pushed wide because of there's a better second striker named Antoine Griezmann who's already playing there, and
he's kind
of
good.
In the team, you're going to have to play somewhere else, really.
Yeah. He's kind of good. There's really no displacing him as such a key player. Atletico's most valuable, or maybe second most valuable player behind Oblak. But Correa, he struggled a bit on the wing when he started playing there a lot more last year. Very, very inconsistent. You know, appeared in almost every game for Atletico last year, and he would go on these long runs where he wouldn't really do much of anything. But I think he's starting to pick it up. Cholo trusts him, gave him the number 10 shirt, and he is a really, really talented player. Just as Ian said in his question, he just doesn't really have that cutting edge, that end product. But the talent is there. It's obvious with the way he passes the ball, the way he dribbles, just kind of cuts through guys. He has a very unique skill set. But yeah, he is a second striker just in winger's clothing.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I haven't watched him a ton, but from what I understand, I thought he was someone more central. I know he only attempted one cross today, wasn't successful, but he's not a player. If they're going to cross the ball and it's going to go out, maybe out to one front and then put in.
Yeah, or it's a through ball to Grizzy or to someone like Kalinic who started today. Yeah, it'll be mostly a through ball or an attempt at a through ball. His decision-making is also kind of suspect at times, but by and large on Tuesday it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's someone that you know is his best years are ahead of him.
Oh yeah, only 23, but he's been in the squad for a while. He's played a bunch of games. I think, he's well over 100 now at this point. So he's only going to get better, I think. We haven't talked about the first goal yet, which, you know, we've been talking for like 15 minutes and we haven't gotten there yet. Saul got it. He just loves these big games, doesn't he? It was actually really nice buildup. The great cutback from Felipe Luis, and Saul kind of hit it. I think it was going to beat Bordki anyway, but Akanji kind of helped out by deflecting it into the roof of the net. Could have been scored an own goal, honestly, but they did give it to Saul. He is now third all-time among Atletico players with 9 Champions League goals.
Yeah, and how many of them have been openers? I would think at least 5 or 6, because it always seems like he's opening the scoring in the Champions League.
The one against Bayern, that goal, that was an opener.
Man.
One against Leverkusen was an opener. The one against Leicester was an opener. Yeah, it's almost always the first goal, and it's usually a great goal, whether it's through build-up or whether it's through an individual effort. This is just who Saul is. He lives for these kind of nights. 4 shots in all, 2 of them on target, a couple key passes, you know, 3 interceptions. This is just a complete game in all aspects. He's such a versatile player. He really just is capable of doing it all, even from a wide position. He started on the left wing tonight.
Yeah, I think maybe this shape with those two defensive midfielders we were talking about benefits him a little bit, because he can find those pockets of space. He can come inward, he can get forward, and then he can get back and win the ball back. Like you said, complete midfielder, all action performance, doing it at both ends.
Yeah, he was terrific tonight. Matthew Diaz Araujo asks, is Saul better in the wing? Better on the wing or centrally? I'd have to say centrally. I think he's more influential there, but it's interesting. He's played on the wing a few times as of late, as Atletico have gotten some injuries. it kind of opens him up, I think, starting wide. It kind of opens up space for him, especially in this kind of alignment with Rodri and Tomas back there. It's interesting. I think Cholo might try it a little bit more, but he is better. He is better centrally because he is a true box-to-box type of player.
Totally. He just has a better chance to influence the game when he's in the middle of it.
Yeah, because he does everything in offensively, defensively, and he plays 90 minutes almost every game. He never really gets hurt either, knock on wood, because I love him, but he's just
a little kidney issue, that's it.
Yeah, he just had, you know, the whole, you know, catheter and nearly spending a night in hospital, nearly losing his life. Other than that, he's, you know, he's been good.
Yeah, what a warrior.
I know. talk about another guy who's young, think... too. He's only 23.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think that Saul, I mean, obviously you're going to play Saul, but he would be played wide with those two defensive midfielders instead of maybe using Saul in central midfield and putting either Gelson Martins or Vitolo out wide just because they're not as strong defensively, those two pure wingers?
Yeah, it's rare to see Simeone go with two pure wingers just for defensive solidity. And a lot of times it's not really a natural or traditional 4-3-3, but a lot of times one of those wide players, so Correa, Tomas Lemar, Vitolo, Gelson, one of those guys will push up and act like the third forward.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's like what we got to see today.
Yeah.
From Correa.
You saw Correa kind of up there, especially in the first half. He was just roaming around, acting as that third forward, that other playmaker with Griezmann on the other side of him. But yeah, it's interesting. Simeone will very, very often do this, particularly when Koke is fit. He'll play Koke on a wing, and he'll kind of effectively be that third central midfielder while Correa or Lemar, whoever's on the other side of him, will push up and try to influence play from a forward position. But yeah, that's standard Cholo.
Gotcha, sir. I feel like you're just explaining it all to me now.
No, it's all good, man. What else we got? Another question from Sam at the Ambassador. That's with a zero, not an O. Can Rodri afford to be dropped at this point after everything we've been shown, what he offers to the team? Also, how about Nikola Kalinic? Let's start with Kalinic. His first Champions League start for Atletico. And I think it went pretty well, despite just the 16 touches. His usage, I think, was pretty intriguing. Instead of being used as the target man and trying to bring down long balls and take shots, Kalinic was used as the hold-up and link-up man for Griezmann and for Correa. Really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that Dortmund probably didn't predict happening.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
And Kalinic, what a 2018 that guy has been having.
Yeah.
But maybe it's gonna go out on a high, because like you said, it was a pretty good performance for him, and he kind of does fit that mold of a big striker that can make his presence felt physically.
Yeah, this is the guy that Simeone expressly requested over the summer, this type of forward. And if he can do this, if he can set up opportunities for guys like Griezmann, guys like Correa, maybe even Vitolo when he gets fully fit, which hopefully will be soon, then Kalinic will be a pretty valuable addition. Like, he's not Diego Costa. I mean, we haven't obviously seen the best version of Costa this year other than in the Super Cup, but he's not Costa. He's not just this rampaging force who's going to fight with every center back he sees. Kalinic, I think, is a little craftier than that. It's a bit like Mandzukic. Mandzukic's year at Atletico, I think, was great. I still miss him. What Mandzukic offered was a lot like what Kalinic offers. Not a ton of goals. He'll get his goal every now and then, but he offers a little bit of physicality, a little bit of a threat as a target man, but also he can pass the ball a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more of that, I don't know, kind of passing skill.
Yeah, a little more craftiness, a little creativity.
Yeah.
He seems to be getting some chemistry with Griezmann too, which Griezmann's been through quite a few strikers in his time at Atleti. Shout out Jackson Martinez. He's been with quite a few in his time. So if he's able to link up with, you know, two strikers in one season, I mean, hey, the more the merrier.
Yeah, totally. It just goes to show what a versatile forward that Griezmann is.
Yeah, and just how he has been transformed over his time in Atletico into this world-class player that we more often than not see. The other part of Sam's question was about Rodri, and I've said this on the pod before. Rodri is like the new Sergio Busquets. He's that essential to what Atletico are doing. It seems like every game he's completing 90% of his passes, and he had more recoveries than anybody in La Liga last season when he played for Villarreal. And it looks like he's on track to do the same thing again this year. But I'm glad Cholo is finally seeing the light, and Rodri is capable of changing the way Atletico play just entirely. We haven't seen it yet. It's been a very slow, it's like an old dial-up connection for your internet. You know, it's been a very slow transition, but Rodri as an anchor in midfield, just steady as they go, steady as they come, just keeping things ticking, moving the ball, not a lot of drama, just does his job for 90 minutes.
Yeah, that guy is never going to make a bad turnover in a dangerous area, and that's reliability that I'm sure Cholo finds very desirable.
And he hasn't really had a player like Rodri since he, you know, took over Atletico. He hasn't really had a player this gifted and this just instinctive in midfield. And he's tried Saul as kind of that water carrier before, and it hasn't really worked. That's not
Coke. He's too interested in attacking. He's too good going forward, you know?
Yeah, you can't limit him like that. And Simeone's done that a few times, and it hasn't made me happy because I love Sal and want him to flourish. But no, and Rodri, he's found that perfect player.
Yeah, and you do bring it up that he can change the way that Atleti can play. I think that's spot on. And I don't know. Maybe they would feel a little more Spanish, I guess, than like the Spain national team, of course, of the way they play. So maybe a little more like Barcelona, I guess, is what I mean. But so that's not Spanish, I guess, Catalan then.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Atletico were in the first half, particularly, were very aggressive, not only in their pressing but in their extremely high line. I remember seeing Jose Jimenez so close to goal. He was about 25 yards out from goal. It was an extremely high line. So that aggressiveness was really good to see. Kind of turning the tables back on Lucien Favre and Dortmund for what they did in the first meeting between these two. And again, it looked like a pretty different Dortmund side. Even though there weren't that many changes, it looked like the tables were totally flipped on them. Oblak kept his 100th clean sheet in his 178th game for Atletico, which is just bonkers.
He's ridiculous.
Just incredible. And he didn't have a save to make.
Yeah. It's not something that applies to Atletico, but a lot of times goalkeepers are the beneficiaries of having incredible defenders playing in front of them. Obviously, Atletico are a little bit, but it's not to say that, oh, well, the defense earned Oblak most of his clean sheets. I guess they bailed him out this time. He didn't have to do much, but he's been bailing them out a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yes, he has. He's I think, the best goalkeeper on the continent. He didn't have a save to make today.
No, he's the best in the world. I don't know
who's... There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I think so for sure.
100 clean sheet. It's hard to fathom just how you keep that many... that many clean sheets. We got one more question from Sergio Sanchez. Return timelines for Costa, Godin, Lemar, and now Jimenez. So I forgot to mention this earlier. Atletico were without five players entering this match, and now they're without six, all due to muscular injuries. No Costa, no Godin, no Tomas Lemar, no Koke, no Stefan Savage, and Jose Jimenez had to come off at halftime. So a lot of key players missing for Atletico, and they still put in one of their best performances of the season. That makes this a bit more impressive. For Costa, he has had hamstring injuries before. This is nothing new for him. I don't know if he'll be back this weekend. It's hard to say. Godin, I'm more confident in. He was training earlier this week, but left out of the final squad, wasn't given the medical all clear. He should be in Saturday against Athletic. Lemar kind of in the same place that Costa's in. Don't know how long it's going to take for him to recover. And Jimenez, again, a hamstring injury for him. It's interesting with Jimenez. Manolo Lama, who's a pretty prominent sportscaster at COPE in Spain, he mentioned after the game that Jimenez has a congenital condition in his hips where one leg is bigger than the other, and it's therefore it's easy for him to, the Spanish term is overload, but it makes it easier for him to kind of get hamstring strains, which is why he gets hurt all the time. So it's just, there's no solution for it. It's just one of those things. This is why Jimenez plays 5 or 6 games at a time. Everyone falls in love with him, and then he's out of the squad for 3 weeks.
That's such a shame, because he's a fantastic defender.
Yeah, probably the best in the team, honestly. I ahead of Godin based on form this year.
Yeah, probably. So what's going to happen, though? Because is there going to be a center back on the bench? Is someone coming up from the academy?
Yeah, well, Godin should be healthy. He should be good to go. I would imagine it'll be Godin and Lucas in the middle. Although Francisco Montero came on Tuesday, 19-year-old from the academy. I thought he was a bundle of nerves, but he kind of slipped a little after the hour, which led to Dortmund's best chance. The Guerrero header just missed. He's got pace. Didn't really pass the ball that well. Again, looked pretty nervous, but he's pacey. He can recover quickly. He'll probably be back on the bench Saturday, I would imagine, since Jimenez and Savic are still out. And I don't know if either one is... Jimenez won't play this weekend, but Savic probably won't either.
Yeah, I would think you would, with Barcelona just a couple weeks away, you wouldn't want to risk too much.
And with Athletic in the state that they're in, fighting relegation right now.
Yeah, totally.
Which is just insane.
And at home as well, right?
Yeah, it's going to be at home. Athletic usually do not play very well in Madrid. That's true of Atletico and Real Madrid. They usually don't play well in the capital. You would think perhaps a bit more conservative in letting those guys rest up, because Barca await just after the international break, and that is a giant game. Absolutely,
yeah, that's
huge.
That's one you gotta have at home.
Yep. And Simeone has never beaten Barca in La Liga, and this will be a good chance. This should be a really good chance, considering how crazy La Liga is this year.
Definitely. I mean, Real Madrid's still down in 7th, and what, Alaves were
they're top for
a period of time.
They were top. They're in 5th now. Espanyol are in 2nd. Sevilla 3rd. It's crazy. Just
it really is. It's really exciting, though.
And it's
good
to
see it.
Yeah, it's the most, I think, even, all things considered, the league has been in 10-15 years. It's been great. It's been a really, really fun season so far, and hopefully it continues. And we get this craziness toward the end of the season when, who knows, Atletico may end up winning the league. It could be just that crazy of a season.
Yeah, and I mean, there definitely will be... I think it will go down to the wire for some of the Champions League places if the title race doesn't, but...
Oh,
certainly good.
I can definitely see that. So Atletico do have Athletic at the weekend. Athletic, just 1 win from 11 this season. They have not won in their last 6. They have not won away from home this season, but they do have 4 draws against just 1 loss. This really should be, I wouldn't say a stroll in the park for Atletico, but this really should be a pretty easy 3 points for them. Athletic are just really, they're not in a good moment right now, and they could be, they've never been relegated from La Liga, and they could be in the drop zone after this game.
Yeah, that's crazy. And Muniain has 4 goals, but I was going to say Adoriz has not scored for them yet. He's just been a guy that's, I mean, he's not playing as much anymore, but he's been a guy over the years that's been a goal machine for them.
He's been their reference point for so long, and then all of a sudden he got old, and Athletic didn't really replace him, and they've been using Iñaki Williams as a forward, and he's not really a forward.
So, no, you know what he's going to do. He's very good, and he's lightning quick, but teams can, if they take the ball away from you, you won't be able to do that, and that does not favor Athletic Club. But I don't know. That seems like a pretty interesting game you might have this weekend.
Yeah, it would be surprising and disappointing if Atletico didn't win that at home. And Atletico have been so strong at home this year. No losses yet. They've played they've 6 or 7 home games now. Yeah, they've played pretty well in just about all of them. So they've been very, very strong at home. Not so good away, but that's a topic for another time. You mentioned earlier that Der Klassiker is this weekend between Dortmund and Bayern Munich. That is indeed at Dortmund. Bayern are third in the Bundesliga. What's the latest on them? It seems like not everyone has taken to Niko Kovac there.
Oh, there's been drama after drama at Bayern Munich this season, with Kovac coming under attack from the media and them obviously losing a few games more than usual, which would be a couple. I think people forget how much Pep Guardiola's side struggled kind of in his first season, and so it's always going to take some time to adjust. But yeah, and Bayern, they kind of showed a reluctance to spend big in the summer. Maybe they needed another signing, and then Kingsley Coman getting hurt didn't help. But lately, there's been rumors that the bigger players like Mats Hummels and Thomas Müller have been in a different camp against the Kovac camp, and they're maybe not willing to accept some of the, I don't know, policies of the new coach. And it's just FC Hollywood is back, I guess, because there hasn't been big drama at Bayern for a while, but
yeah, that's true.
Now they're in a little bit of turmoil, so they have they're just coming off a draw in the Bundesliga at the weekend, and they beat a fourth tier side only 2-1 in the cup last week, so I guess people can pile that on them, but they haven't lost any of their last 5 games. Going back to a 3-0 loss to Borussia Mönchengladbach, who's actually in second in the Bundesliga. That was back on October 6th.
Yeah, they're not even in the top two. They're third, and they've only got 18 goals in 10 games. That's also kind of strange. How long do you see Kovac lasting? How much longer?
If he loses to Dortmund, it could get really interesting, especially with the players. But he's a guy that has ties to the Bayern board. He played there, he and his brother played there, and I don't know, I think he's a really good coach, but maybe it's just the older players have been there for a while and they have a lot of power.
Yeah, they have. I feel like Bayern have been a team that's needed to transition away from that old guard for a couple of years now.
It just doesn't seem to be doing them any favors, does it?
No, it doesn't. The Robin Ribery era, I think that's over with, and they just can't quite move on. They kind of paint around the edges, they kind of add some nice polish to the wood floors, but the fixtures are still there in these older guys who were part of those great Bayern teams. That 2013 team remains one of the most dominant teams I've ever seen, but it's been time to move on for a while, and there are still this major names here who are still really important to this team, and they really should not be as important as they are. I mean, Thomas Müller is another one of those guys too, part of that other era, I feel.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he's one of the only kind of really academy graduates in that team. Even like David Alaba, who came technically through the academies, through the youth teams, he was bought when he was like 19 from Austria, and Neuer is from Schalke, Boateng didn't grow up there, Süle was at Hoffenheim, Kimmich all over the place, Robin definitely not, Ribery definitely not, Lewandowski no, and Thiago, Thiago is injured, and
of course
he's
he
kind of been what's holding them together, but you're right, maybe it was time to rip off the bandage.
Yeah,
2 summers ago or something, and you just don't have a lot of academy graduates coming in,
and you don't want to spend money.
Yeah, I mean, even when you get Hamas for a great deal, there's still leaves something to be desired, at least when it comes to continental football, and it's shown the Bundesliga is a lot better this year than teams were last year. It's a lot more competitive, and people have caught up to Bayern, I guess, at least it looks like for now.
You see them winning this weekend?
I do, just because they've just had Dortmund's number lately, and like a couple years ago, Leipzig were challenging right before Christmas. They could have been top. It was the last game, and Bayern just thumped them. So I can kind of see Bayern's players stepping up and asserting their dominance by way of a very narrow one goal win, but maybe, I don't know, maybe 2-1.
Well, they are home against AEK Athens tomorrow, that they should win that fairly easily, you would think. If they don't, talk about pressure piling up. Whew. Yeah, that should be an easy win for them at home, and then they travel to Dortmund on Saturday. So
yeah, Saturday the late game, I think it'll be late game. 10:30 for you in Arizona, I think.
Woohoo. Well, I'll be tuning into that one if I can, but anything else you got, Jack? Anything you want to plug?
Just Copa 90 US. You can follow us on social media. Try to make it worth your while. Try to have fun on there. So,
yeah, it's good stuff. Jack, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. It was great to talk to you again.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. Always love to talk about Atletico Madrid.
Follow Jack on Twitter at Jack Grimsey. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Barron. Follow Copa 90 US at Copa 90 US. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, especially on Apple Podcasts. And finally, head over to patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat, where you can become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo. Early access to this episode for Colt Gennaro Chat amigos. The general public will get this episode tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning. So be on the lookout for those of you who are not Colt Gennaro Chat amigos. Patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat. All right, we will be back after Atletico's game against Athletic on Saturday. Until then, adios.